Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Victoria Bennion, and the founder of the Victoria Bennion Podcast Booking Agency. And you're listening to The Best Guest, the podcast for business owners, creatives, and entrepreneurs who want to harness the power of podcasts to grow their platforms and increase their visibility. We're here to support you on your journey, bringing you actionable tips with each episode. Now, let's begin. In this week's episode of The Best Guest, we welcome actor and performance storyteller Stasia Kehoe. We talk about why storytelling is so important, the three most important stories for business owners to share, and if you're new to speaking, how to go about finding your voice. Welcome to the podcast, Stasia.
It's lovely to have you here today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Victoria. I mean, I really was looking forward to this, especially after listening to some of the guests that you have on. It's such valuable information. So I hope I can add to the cornucopia of wisdom.
I'm sure you will. Thank you. Now, you've had quite an interesting journey to becoming a story and speaking coach and podcast host. And I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about what led you to this point.
Well, I think the through line for everything for me has always been stories and storytelling, because my mom used to tell us stories when we were kids. I think everybody got stories when they were kids, but my mom went a bit further. She did all the character voices and used to make a lot of wry comments. We call them sidebars now. And when we got to read, we realized, wait a minute, they're not saying that. Wait a minute. But I quite liked that. So I carried on the tradition. And actually started out as a dancer way back when. And then, because dancers have a kind of a short shelf life, if you like, you're injured a lot. And if you're not like exceptional, then you won't really progress in that area. So I was good, but I wasn't like exceptional. And was at uni in Colorado. I went to uni in Boulder, Colorado. And it was dance and drama college. And right across the quadrant were all the actors smoking, drinking, eating solid food, laughing, using their voices. And I thought, you know, I think there's much more of me to be expressed. So I moved over to drama and trained as an actor. And that has always really been my mode of expression. But it's always the characters and the stories that get me going. And I was really lucky when I lived in Seattle and in Colorado as well. They had a Dr. Seuss exhibit that came to the Children's Museum, which is interactive. And so we had to find a way to bring that off the wall and make it really an interactive experience. We had a lot of school groups coming through there. And so I was like this human busy box, and I learned to read with Dr. Seuss. So it was really in my wheelhouse. And a lot of those teachers were like, oh, could you come into our classroom, you know, just to bring areas of the curriculum alive. And at that time, multiculturalism was the big thing and differentiated learning styles. So how do you teach multiculturalism? How do you teach culture? It's new stories. So I really kind of took a deep dive and really got familiar with a lot of traditional myths, legends, origin tales, things like that. And, you know, again, you know, acting, and that just all went hand in hand, because you're always trying to monetize a skill set, basically. And those are my skills. It's like talking and moving and performing and making connections with people through spoken word, really. So that's really kind of drives everything from when I was a resting actor and used to work in advertising. And then I did a stint at Kew Gardens as well. Basically, again, the same thing, how to make that come alive for school groups and visitors. And, you know, because it is people think it's like a park, but it's actually a museum of plants. So it's really teaching people, allowing that wisdom to be unlocked and shared in a way. And it was such a beautiful experience in that you'd get a lot of people that came through that were from various other countries, and they would smell the smells and see the plants, and they'd go, oh, this we used for that, or this reminds me of my childhood. And so we would gather their stories as well. So, and then I got into business, which is, you know, basically working with people on their pitches and presentations, and that's kind of what I do. I work with really intelligent people who need to get out of their heads and really express what it is that's of value that they're trying to communicate, their innate wisdom. And I think that's what we all need a little bit more of.
Perhaps storytelling is such a great way to connect with people, and it's really important, as you say, when you're trying to convey anything, but it's important for our guests on podcasts, which is how we support our clients. And part of storytelling is it's important to tell your own story. So, do you have any tips for someone who is looking to do that? Like, what do people want to know?
Yeah, so people, that storytelling is such a big buzzword now. And basically, the other half of storytelling is listening. So what I did in those various places, whether it was in schools or in communities or in culture, different cultural settings and different public venues, is, you throw out almost a stimulus, an idea, these myths and legends, they've been through the ages because we can still keep picking away at them. It's not what it means. It's not preaching. It's not reporting. It's actually just sharing this sort of a parable. And it's about where you are in the story. You find yourself in there. And it changes. So you go back to those stories again and again and you go, oh, it means this now. Oh, I see myself here now. So I think people get flustered a bit because, especially with a lot of the clients that I work with, they have that 60-second pitch to deliver, and they're like, they go on and on and on about features and benefits, and reciting their CV or rereading their website copy, and that's not really a story. That's not what anybody wants to know. What people really want to know is what did your experience teach you? What kind of qualities and skills do you have? And what did you wish someone would have told you? Because we have so much information out there that it's really not about more information. It's about meaning. And stories give context to all those facts and information. And then we can sift through and see what it means for us, what it means to them. So I recommend people just start with, right where the four points of the compass meet, right at your feet, and just have a look at not like, what qualifies you, but what skills do you have and what qualities do you bring to it? Because if you look at, I mean, if you just go into the supermarket or the Boots or someplace like that, and you're just going to buy toothpaste, well, if it was about features and benefit, they all clean your teeth, right? But how
Right.
come we have 30 different kinds? So you really go for the one that's like done something for you, that's moved your life ahead, whether it's been, giving you information about, oral health, or, some sort of flavor that the kids will like, or packaging that works in your bathroom or something like that. So, it's always about something that's not exactly the thing. So I say, just start with yourself. And what look at the experience that you've had in your life. One of the exercises that we do is kind of what I call it chapter and verse, and we look at the things in your life, that different experiences that you have, and it's like, well, what happened in this, this chapter was about that. And if you give it a heading, then it kind of isn't so woolly. You kind of go, even if you just call it something blatant like college, or the one with the kids, if you Friends, I think when they episode titles that they would have, it's like the one with the monkey, or the one where Joey, meets a girl, or something like that. But just use those titles, and you can really kind of then start seeing what are the themes that continue to run through your life, because your story never shuts up. So if you don't start like listening to really what it is that you really want to do and really want to lean into, because it keeps coming up again and again and again and again. And you'll find yourself drawn to things. I think Rumi was the one in his poetry that said, let yourself be drawn to what you truly love, and then you'll find your way.
That's great advice. So, as a business owner, can you talk about what the three stories are that it's most important to share?
Yeah, I think for businesses, a lot of times I go in when with my B2B clients and we have a story, and then they point you to their mission statement, and it's like, okay, but that's not a story, because a story has to have a character, and it has to have like a real specific event and emotion, because that's why storytelling works for people, because not it builds that, trust, like, and know factor. Which is why you should need to talk about your skills and your qualities and really who you are and what experiences you've had. So then they can go, oh, yeah, I get that. They're like me. Oh, yeah, I want to be like that. And for teams, especially, to know the story of the company, like the origin story, is really important. Where did the, how come this company started in the first place? Who started it? Why? All of that. And it gives them a sense of connection and belonging. That where's their place in this story again? And people tell their story, just harking back to what we were talking about, why it's important to tell your story. Because when you tell your story, you give people permission to tell theirs. And that's where you can gather your, ideal clients, your tribe, fellow travelers, supporters, because that's how the like things like the Me Too movement started. Somebody finally spoke out. And what we found was that these people were actually, DNAs were being used as like a gag order so that they couldn't speak and couldn't tell that to anybody. And that's like all through history. This, there'll be in the fairy stories, there'll be an enchantment laid on them that you can't speak about it to anyone, or, some disaster will happen to you. So when you tell the story, when you break the silence on anything like mental health or menopause or anything, then people go, yeah, that. But with businesses, the three main stories, just to be so you have answered your question, and everybody's hanging on, but she didn't say it. So the three stories are the origin story, and that can be the founder story, how this company was started. But more interesting is the first story. Like, what is it that drives you to be an architect? Why an engineer? What makes you that doctor? So what was it in you that always was that thing? Where is it in your DNA? So, you talk to, say, architects, for instance, and they're pitching for a job. And of course, everybody uses sustainable materials and brings it in on time and on budget and, listens to what you want that to be. But wouldn't you rather go with the person that, all their lives they've been building, like with Legos and scraps of wood, and made a tree house that had a pulley and all of that stuff? It's like, that's a person that's a builder, man. That's a person that loves it, that really wants it. They're not just there to like do a job and take your money. There's somebody that you can go, right, they can actually inform me about what I don't know about this, or take my vision and dream and really buy into that. So that's the one story. So go back to the first story. And then again, you're going and finding those qualities and skills that are innate, that you possess, that no one else has in that unique combination. I think the second story that's really important is the purpose story. And this is what can also, like I said, unite your teams, because it's like, what do we stand for? What's our bigger game? What is it that is our purpose? So that's where kind of your mission statement can be a clue into that. So I always like go through, and it says here you do, you want to educate. How do you do that? Tell me a story about, education, and how you educate your employees, or how you educate the public, or something like that. So a great example of a purpose story would be like Always is looking at their target market. They do feminine products. Their target market are teenage girls. One of the biggest things that happens to teenage girls is they lose their confidence as soon as they start menstruating, because everything's changing and this is embarrassing and there's a lot of shame attached to it. I mean, a lot of girls miss school because they don't have access to products. So they started their Like a Girl campaign, and their whole mission was about building confidence and, showing that being like a girl was just as valuable and as important as anything else, that there was no Because that's a comment in our society, Western culture, like, oh, you do that like a girl, you fight like a girl, you run like a girl. And it's like, so they had they their beginning ad was having people come in and do that, and they did all these really math things, and then they had like a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old come in and do it, and they really ran, they really threw, they really did these things. And they said, so what does it mean to be like to run like a girl? And she said, well, I don't know, I think it's just running. And they said, well, when people say that, what do you think it means? And she says, I don't know, I don't think it means anything really nice, but I'm a girl and this is how I run. So that's, beforehand. And now what they do is an episodic story, which is really what everybody can do in social media. It's that drip feed of like, here's a piece of it, 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 documenting it, this is my story, but here's how I'm living that today. Here's how I'm living it here. Here's how I'm living it there. And they went on to show how, dads coaching sport teams, how women doing, things that are usually reserved for like contact sports. And, now we just had the World Cup where, people act when it was televised. People were into it. They were watching it. They were realizing, hey, they're good. This is good quality and good entertainment. And, it's been the opportunity then to say, and we should be paid the same as well, So aligning with that bigger game, what's your purpose? And this is where you see a lot of companies buy into things like if the 100, I think it's 100 things that are on the UN's list of the world's work. So gender equality, clean water, all of these things, sustainability, energy, justice, blah blah blah. So if you're hunting for a purpose, there's a place to look. But just go through. Everybody, when they do their branding, usually has what are your values, So mine are like empowerment, connection, and imagination. And I just lean into that. Everything I do is towards that purpose. I'm empowering people, I'm connecting ideas, I'm connecting people, and I'm my imagination in a very applied way and getting people to do that too. So that's the origin, the purpose, and the final one is the value story. The value story is really good because you don't talk about anything that you do, not your product, not your service. What you talk about is that transformation that happens with the people that you work with. So that transformation, that actual value that you add to people's life. So with the toothpaste, they're not showing you clean teeth and healthy gums. They're showing you people kissing, people laughing, people having confidence, people having friends, people having relationships. That's the value that they're bringing. And so your value can be time. We're giving people more time, more choice. You're adding knowledge, vision, flexibility. So there's a lot of things, stories that you can tell about that instead of going, we clean your drains and make sure everything runs right and we're the cheapest guys in town.
That's brilliant. I like that. So, my next question is, if you're new to speaking, it can feel quite challenging to find your voice and then to learn how to use it. Do you have any tips to share on that?
Yeah, I think the first thing that I would say to anybody that's speaking, especially we all go networking and you all have to do, people would call it the dreaded 60 seconds. That's actually kind of how I started my business, is because I heard people saying this, oh, I got to do the dreaded 60 seconds. And I'm like, the elevator pitch. And again, it's not about features and benefits. It's not about your CV. It's like, I think the classic scene, if you go way back to the 80s, to that movie Working Girl, there's a brilliant scene in there. You can find it on YouTube. And it's the elevator pitch. Because what it came from was basically you'd get into an elevator on the ground floor, and the top guys in the C-suite were on the top floor. And so if you had a good idea or if you wanted to move up your floor, you got in a lift with them and you got their attention, and you had that 60-second ride up to their floor to pitch your idea. So you had their captive audience. That's where it came from. And if you look at that scene in Working Girl, she's not there telling him about how that boss ripped her off her idea or how she's the best person for the job or any of that. She tells him where she got the good idea, how that came to be, where the good idea came from. So I think if you're looking at speaking, we want to share your good ideas. Tell us a little story about what's going on. Hook us with that and then say, and this is what it means. So metaphor is kind of that spine that you can use to really connect the dots of this story and this message. But from a technical standpoint, what people do is they hold their breath. So when you get up to speak, most people go, take a breath. This, and then they're talking like that. And if you are just listening to this, you can just feel it. You take a deep breath and then you get as much out of that as you possibly can, and you speak really fast because you've only got 60 seconds and you're trying to jam in as much as possible. Nobody can hear that. We call those people finish speakers because they just can't wait to get done.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and my advice is when in doubt, breathe out. Because if you breathe out, first of all, it's like a sigh of relief. It's like, oh, God. So automatically you connect with the vagus nervous system, which is where, where that relief and release happens. So you also set the tone for who's ever listening, because your audience will mirror you. They'll follow you. So if you breathe out and smile and open your face and set the tone, it also opens your throat. Then when you relax that social stomach that we're all holding in, especially as women, the air will automatically pop in, because it's actually physics. You lower the air pressure and create a vacuum, so the air fills it. And the air is everywhere. There's plenty. Take as much as you want. And when you're more relaxed and in control with that, then your audience can listen to your message and they're not worried for you. They're not trying to catch up. They're not just zoned out because they can't understand a word you're saying. I mean, if you think about it, when you get onto a plane, if the pilot came on and said, "Oh my God, okay, we're going to get going today. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're going to get there sometime today. And I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but we'll find out when we get there. And there'll be a safety talk." I mean, you will absolutely be listening to that safety talk. You will.
You
Or getting
totally
off the
would.
plane right now. So you're the conductor of the orchestra. You're the pilot of that plane. So, when they get on and go, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your captain speaking," they'll say their name. "I'm John so and so, the co-pilot is so and so. These are your stewards." They introduce them all and they do all that stuff. And then they stop, and then they tell you the next bit, and then they tell you the next bit. And then they go, "We're going to be flying at this kind of an altitude, and we're going to get in at this time, and everything should be fine. If you see the sign, put the seat belts on." I mean, I'm already ordering my gin and tonic by now. I have no problem. It's like, okay, great. Everybody knows what they're doing. Good. That's what I wanted to know. And
Yes.
so, when you speak, just relax into it. Speak to one person. Look at the friendly one and speak right to them. And then you can widen it out to the person next to them, and then the person next to them. And just continue to like have that pace. 60 seconds is a long time. You're not going to tell them all your whole life history. Pick one thing you're going to tell them that you want people to walk away remembering. So you open up that conversation and get people coming to ask you a question, because then you can have a longer conversation.
That's such good advice. I've never heard it like that before. I'm definitely going to be thinking about my 60 seconds next time. We know who to go to for tips.
Absolutely. That's like one of the first basic things that I cover with people that I work with, whether it's clients or in business or anything like that, is just getting that introduction straight. Because the other thing that the audience is doing is they're tuning in to the frequency of your voice, just like you would a radio station or that, so that they can filter out the other stuff and really listen to you, no matter what voice you have. It doesn't matter if it's like this big booming voice or even if it's a quiet voice. In fact, in a noisy club, that's what jazz singers do. They take it down a notch or two. They don't try to sing over, because you'll never do it. You'll strip your voice. They just take it down. And if you want to hear it, you'll lean in and listen or move closer. So you don't have to kill yourself. Just find your voice, your tone. Breath support is how you project your voice. That's the other thing. People think it's about being louder. It's not. It's breath support. There's three kinds of projection. There's breath support and clarity. So form your words, say the whole thing, and mental projection. So use your face, use your hands, use your tone of voice. And that's really how you send your message. If you remember in the pandemic, when we had our masks on, people would say, "Oh, I can't understand you. I can't hear you. I don't, what are you saying?" And it wasn't because we couldn't hear them. It's because we couldn't see their face. So we didn't get that mental projection. We, because what travels faster, light or sound? Light. So we see it before we hear it. So we're kind of like, that's why, like, if like people that have children, if your child falls down or something happens to them and their ice cream or something goes awry, and you just go, "No, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay." And you make a big happy face and you raise your tone and everything is fine. And then they go, "Oh, okay." You kind of send this message, and then while you buy yourself time to think, okay, what are we going to do about that?
Yep, totally do. Now, you have a podcast called Finding My Voice.
I do.
Can you tell me a bit more about that, please?
Well, I it came out of, first of all, the work that I do. It was so fascinating, and I wanted to give the stories I was hearing were so, terrific that I really wanted to share them. I love listening to podcasts, especially, through the pandemic when I'd go out for my walks. It was like curated radio, and I've always been a fan of radio ever since I was a kid, and I did community radio for 4 years in Marlow. So I thought, I want to really roll this over into a podcast. I think I could do that. So Finding My Voice came out because that's what I'm helping people do, and that's what I'm trying to do for myself as well. So the first season was about people that had found their voice and were using a platform, their platform, to amplify other voices. So they were sharing it. They were going, "I found my voice, let me help other people." And the second season, which is just started now, is about taboo. And I thought, let's talk about stuff that usually gets shoved under the carpet or there's a lot of shrouded in myth about. So I've got a variety of people that come on and are just doing a lot of myth busting, from dropping the fake smile to someone who's coming on to talk about crime, true crime, who was a detective herself and only became a detective when she was 45. And she was in the sex crimes unit in Utah. So it's a lot of FLDS myth busting. And I got to know her because she's an author. She started writing fiction to kind of process all the stuff that she was going through and seeing. And I got to do the audiobooks for it because I also am a voice artist. So I get to meet people doing, video games and animation and audiobooks.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. I really love that work. It's, you're meeting so many interesting people and giving voice to such interesting things. E-learning, documentaries. I mean, the kind of stuff that people are doing is amazing, and we don't hear about it because the news is just such noise, and it's such, almost brainwashing, really. So that's why podcasts are so amazing, because you actually get to talk to a variety of people. And you get to hear from their mouth, their experience, true wisdom. And that's really my mission in life, is getting people to talk about their real life experience and share that wisdom, because that is what wisdom is, real wisdom. Not just people saying, "Well, this is how it's always been," but people saying, "Hey, guess what? I've been there. I've done that. This is what I know." And you're like, "Yeah, what do you know?" Because that's what people want to know from your story. What you wish someone would have told you.
For sure. And so, on that note, those interesting things that you do, how can people work with you?
Oh, I've got such a variety of ways. So if you go to my website, which will probably be in the show notes, but it's just my name, stacyakeogh.co.uk. You can work with me one to one. So I work with people to get their presentations, their talks, or keynotes together. And that's a very bespoke service. And then I have a couple group programs. One is called Spotlight, which is all about just the basics, the story of you, how to find your stories, how to do panel speaking, podcasting, Q&As. I do a whole section on embodied speaking as a somatic coach. Really, really get out of your head into your body so that you are embodying that message so that you feel as empowered as your listeners. I mean, a lot of people that work with me come off stage and go, wow, I felt really amazing, which is how an actor feels when they've, nailed that performance. They get standing ovations because they've given the right cues to their audience. So the audience knows when to laugh, when to clap, when to respond. And they actually have that reciprocal conversation going. So Spotlight is a great step in. And then Follow Spot was just invented because people were saying, oh, now that we've got these skills, we really want to develop them. And so it's like an ongoing fortnightly, twice a month little group where I do a little bit of training, and then the rest of it is an open forum to work on whatever anybody's coming in with or, wants to work on or has questions with. So Spotlight, Follow Spot, and then I also work B2B with teams, especially R&D and tech teams, so that they are, because we hire intelligent people, but then we kind of relegate them to being just order takers or report givers. So I'm on a mission to turn those people back into trusted advisors and, allow them to express their intelligence.
And as well as all those ways people can work with you, I know that you have a really useful tip sheet that you put out weekly.
That's right. So if you sign up to the newsletter, not only do you get like a little, five story hooks and five delivery tips, but every week on a Tuesday, you get an action tip, a tip and an action step that has to do with storytelling and speaking. So delivery tips and content structure. It's all those things. And yeah, so that can be yours in your inbox every week. My love letter to you.
Oh, I'm going to put links to all of those in the show notes. Thank you so much for carving out some time in your day to come on the podcast, Stasia. I've really enjoyed talking to you today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for listening to the Best Guest podcast today. I'll talk to you again in the next episode.